Romancing the Dungeon is intended for mature audiences, as this show contains adult themes. But, like, not those kind of adult themes. Just some sensitive stuff that some audience members may find upsetting. Content warnings for specific episodes can be found in episode descriptions. You're listening to Romancing the Dungeon, a softcore D&D podcast about heroes navigating their daily lives while looking for love in a world full of peril, monsters, and heartbreakers. Grace, you find yourself at home in your apartment, and as you step through the front door, the familiar smell of that beef and onion dish that Thane learned to cook, and it's the only recipe he ever learned to cook, kind of wafting. You could smell it coming up the stairs, and it's that thing of, okay, put on your happy face, he's made dinner. And you can hear him kind of puttering away in the kitchen. And as the door kind of closes behind you, everything in the apartment goes quiet. The smell still lingers, and you feel as if you are not on your own here in your home.
What sort of feeling is it? Is it like one of those kind of, you're running down the corridor after switching off all the lights?
It's strange. The presence feels very familiar. There is a sense of, oh, this is my home. I'm safe. And it's okay. You thought it was Thane. It should be Thane.
I'm going to look around to see if I can find Thane, first of all. But I'll also be prepping to fight if needs be.
There's something kind of keeping you on edge. You don't know what it is. There's something below the surface. You are home. You have the smell of braised beef and very charred onions lingering. You recognize the armchair in the corner. You see the bookcase filled with the tomes that you have begun to collect. By now, having stepped in, you would immediately go to kind of take off the gear, put things away, stow them in the chest. But your hand finds the handle of your sword, and something kind of in you tells you to hold firm. And as you search through the room again, nothing out of place, nothing unfamiliar to you. You round the corner into the kitchen area, and standing there is Thane. Lifeless, just a shell of himself staring directly at you.
Why are you here?
Why did you do it, Grace?
I'm not the only one at fault for this. I am not innocent in what I did. However, your actions cause my reaction. So now both of us are trapped in this.
He takes a step towards you. He doesn't lift himself. He just the body just kind of moves at you. And you can see that his eyes are kind of sunken back, and there's just dark, heavy circles. He looks gaunt and unhealthy and unwell in a way that you've never seen him before. His skin is deathly pale. And as he kind of lingers closer to you, that smell of cooking is obliterated by the pungent stench of bog water and swamp gas. Why did you do it, Grace?
Because you broke my heart.
His head bows. And you feel a hand on your shoulder.
Yes.
Why did you do it, Grace? And the voice is familiar. It's not Thane. And the hand is wet and warm.
I'm going to turn my head slowly.
As you turn, the wind just wallops you in the face. This icy blast screams past your ears, and you feel the cold biting at the edge of your fingertips, your nose, your lips. And as you turn, hanging from your shoulder, barely holding himself up, clutching a wound in his chest, you stare down at Suarez. Why?
I had no choice. I don't have a choice with her. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to. I tried to tell her no. She kept insisting. She essentially, she said either I would do it or worse would happen. I don't know how to fight her anymore. I can't. She's everywhere. She's in my dreams. She's in my waking moments. She's in my blood. She's in my nose. Everywhere. I can just feel her stink, her decay, touching everything that I touch, and I can't stop it because of a stupid, stupid mistake over somebody who realistically wasn't even worth it in the end. He didn't even love me like that. And I lost my soul for him.
You feel an arm wrap itself around your waist and an arm wrap itself around your shoulders, around your neck. Oh, come now, Grace. Not a pity party.
There's never time for a pity party with you. I know I did this to myself.
You feel that dead heat emanating from her as she clings to you. And all of the weight of her body dragging you down. And Suarez melts into shadows. And everything goes dark. And you find yourself just sinking. Being pulled deeper and deeper. You have the power to do things, Grace. To protect yourself. That is the deal. That is what we made. And Thane is locked away. And your actions, they will see that the world is in a better place. Trust me. And she squeezes you tight.
I'm just going to kind of hiss a bit at that, knowing that better place is very subjective and very much for her and not for anyone else.
She draws away from you very, very slowly. And even then, as she kind of relinquishes her grasp on you, you still feel her. It's like you walked through webs. And that sensation of her just permeates deeper than skin. It's almost as if her fingerprints are on your soul. And as she kind of pulls away, you see that the world around you shifts and it's raining. It's lashing this sharp, cold, heavy bullets of rain. And your body feels so sore and so tired. It's been days and weeks of travelling eastwards over the Kingdom of Galeshire, down side roads and through wilderness and brush, anything to stave off going to the main road, being seen, being found, being noticed. Because if someone notices you, then the chances are the Grey Lady sees them too. And the more people you come in contact with, the more people you hurt. And now, having found yourself at the foot of the Hag's Tooth Mountains in the northeast of Galeshire, you stand on the edge of the woods and the wilds beyond, and the Grey Lady drifts around the edges of the campfire that you have burning. And you see that every now and again the flames just illuminate her eyes, and they are deep, swirling pools of black ichor that almost drink and swallow the light. Her frame is gnarled and twisted, much like the roots and branches of a dead tree. And she lingers, and you feel her fix on you. Listen. Beyond the trees and deeper into those woods, you and I will not be able to stay in contact. Don't confuse this place, Grace, as some sort of repose for me. While I cannot cross this, and you see her eye, the edge of the woods, boundary, it is not an escape or a paradise that lingers beyond. You will find yourself in a whole other prison. And we know what happens to birds that are caged. Grace Stormfield. Find Clodagh Metamoon and take her heart. That is all I ask.
I'm here, aren't I?
And she smiles. Of course you are, my love. And she sinks into the shadows. And you find yourself gripping the sword at your side and stepping into the woods. The bonfire behind you just extinguishing magically. And with that first step, there is a silence. There is a void that you have not felt for months. An emptiness where there was something pressing, something sinking, something weighing you down. It is gone. It is like somebody flicked a switch. And you can't feel her. And you can't sense her. Her presence is almost gone. And as you take that second step into the woods around the Hag's Tooth Mountain, you feel and see the woods almost twist and shake in front of you. A path opening, a path closing. Trees swallowing up all sections. The earth itself just broiling. And there is silence. And then there is darkness, and the woods become an enemy, an adversary. You find yourself lost, tracing back steps that you know you've stepped before. The same rock, the same cluster of trees. It's as if you're caught in some sort of loop, some sort of labyrinth. You don't know if it's been hours, days, night and day are just a blur. Whatever this place is, whatever is happening, when you lash out with sword or magic, it doesn't seem to phase, it doesn't seem to affect any blast, any marks, any etchings are swallowed. And only when you find yourself on the brink of collapse do you hear voices. Three men. Two Harongans, they've spears. A slightly taller, furbolg man. They look at you, they're puzzled. You hear their words. One reaches for you and you snap and swipe at him. They immediately go on the offense. Three on one, you hold your own. And it's only when you find something just slapping you across the back of the head, as if the branch of a tree swung down low, everything goes dark, and you snap awake. The morning sun blazing in through the windows of your cell, the firm mattress on the cot, the smell of the spiced oats and blueberries in the bowl on the little table in your room, the faint smell of dust from the books sitting on the shelf. How many days, weeks has it been? You're not certain, but outside, beyond the bars of your cell, sitting across from you, you see a Harongan man. He's not dressed like the others were. He introduced himself to you once. He's barely said anything. As you struggle to remember his name, you feel your stomach rumble. And as you reach for the bowl and you take a bite, it's been 6 weeks. 6 weeks and not a word. Not a shadow. Not a whisper from the Grey Lady. And yet, deep down, when you pause for thought in those quietest of moments, you can feel her fingertips on the edges of your soul. And you swallow a mouthful of creamy spiced oats. And you hear the man outside the cell clear his throat.
Welcome back to the world of the living. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
What bad news?
That you're alive.
Don't I know it?
You see a very deep, dark, navy, almost purplish Harongan man. He stands a noble 4 foot 3 inches. His long, floppy ears hang over his chest, almost like a scarf. It's down to past his hips. He is dressed different to the guards you've met. He's in a simple sort of baggy white cotton shirt, a sort of peach color baggy pants, simple white wood sandals. He has like a walking stick beside him. For how loose and seemingly easygoing his clothes are, there's kind of a weight to him. And he has in his hand just a small cup of what seems to be just like interesting smelling tea. And he takes a sip. He's silent, but he is kind of looking at you, not breaking your gaze.
Grace, what does Trep see? Like, what, following the events of the Giant's Fingers and the mountains, that traveling eastwards all that time, what does Grace look like right now?
First of all, a mess. Grace will look fairly haggard, very tired, dark circles, some worry marks a bit more prominent, but also a weird coldness to the face, where it's just like, I've given up. I'm just going through the motions. Hair is probably a bit on the matted side, quite on the gaunt side herself, because she isn't looking after herself. Essentially, Grace just doesn't really care right now. They're like in a pit of depression, and just, they literally don't care what happens to them anymore.
The pair of you are sort of like eyeballing each other. Trep, as you sip on your herbal tea, and Grace, you finish your breakfast. It's been a few weeks since you arrived here, and they keep calling it the jail. You've been in jail before. you've broken into and out of a number of cells, and none of them have ever had like goose feather mattresses and interchangeable sheets depending on the weather. Most don't give you your regular three meals and serve you tea and coffee if you so require. They certainly don't bring you books to read. And yeah, if this is their version of a jail, it's unique to you and your experiences.
I'll be here for the long time.
No, your massage is in 2 hours. So.
Oh, great.
Is there anything either of you do or say to each other at this point?
Can I help you with anything?
Oh, like what? I don't think you'll be much help.
Well,
I'm just sitting. I can sit pretty good by myself.
Well, I didn't exactly want to sit there and hold hands with you. You just keep staring at me. You know, it's going to upset my porridge.
Well, you're not the first person to tell me I upset them when I'm around. He looks away to the ground. Guess it's not true what they say. Misery doesn't love company. Not mine, anyway.
You don't want to keep me company. I am not the best person to be around.
That makes two of us.
So what's your deal?
I live here. I watch you sometimes. When Mrs. Meadowoon asks. And if I'm not doing that, I'm usually mapping in ever-changing woods, which, as you can imagine, given that it's ever-changing, a bit of a task.
Oh, yeah. I think I vaguely remember that. Or do I?
Chances are you do and you don't. This place is a way of making you think you remember things.
That is, to be honest, a relief.
Trep doesn't like... Ben wants to say something, but I know Trep. it's like Trep just kind of nods, confused, a little bit like, there's not really an answer to that. So back to silence, I guess.
Grace is going to put their bowl to the side. Just kind of almost get into a meditative space where they are soaking in that silence, even though they can feel that she's not quite gone. She's just listening to the ambient sounds happening, the sound of the woods, even the sound of Trep's breathing, just relishing in that absence, well, that mostly absent feeling of the Grey Lady. They're just relishing in this and focusing on that so hard. It's been so long since they felt like their thoughts were their own, that they had almost forgotten who they were without the Grey Lady. so many of their actions in recent months had been influenced by her so heavily that Grace was starting to believe that the Grey Lady picked correctly. She knew exactly the type of person Grace was, even though Grace would never have said, "I am a violent person." They were always violent for just cause. But they're just really relishing this. Even just the silence, having company that they don't have to kill.
Do you want me to take the bowl out of your... It's just you've been sitting there for a while in your own little...
Well, well, well. Don't let me interrupt. Oh, the height of conversation is always... and Grace, as you were sitting there kind of like focusing on everything around you, you did hear the door open a little bit further beyond. There's just a sound. It's kind of a sharp little squeal on the hinge. And then the scuffling of feet, just like literally shimmying slowly but with purpose down a hallway. And you, Trep asking you about the bowl kind of breaks your attention. And then you both hear the voice of Nana Meadowmoon just round the corner. "Well, Trep, ah, oh, look at you there. Ah, oh, look at you there. Oh, look. Loads of words out of you today."
"Yeah, wow. Is it time for me to go? I guess time does fly."
No, you sit there now, and you sit there and you tell us what you were telling Grace about, huh?"
"I was just seeing if Grace wanted me to take her bowl of..."
"Grace, do you want him to take the bowl there now from you?" She does, yeah. "Go on, good lad there now, take that bowl there and give it a good scrub. Huh? You, and I don't want to hear anything about it being soaked. You get in there, a bit of elbow grease, that'll get the oats right out of the bowl."
"She's left it along, it's crusty."
"Well, take a chisel."
Trep walks over to you, and not with his hands, but with one of his floppy ears, kind of just pushes it through. Is it bars? Is it a barred prison?
Yeah, but, yeah. Like, I mean...
there's probably like a feeding slot or something.
They're quite, like, to be honest...
I could probably squeeze.
You could probably squeeze through.
Just like, haven't tried.
Yeah, their idea of prison is interesting.
Yeah, self-elected.
So. Yeah. Come and go if you wish, you know.
But he bends over. Rehab. And his ear kind of flops out, expecting me like a hand. But if you just put it there, I'll get rid of it.
Grace is going to very gently place the ball and say, "Thank you."
"Oh, the sparks are flying in here today, aren't they? Oh, it's a hot house."
"Anything else I can do for you, Mrs. Meadowmoon?"
I don't know. "I've got a couple of window boxes of hydrangeas that need to be dug and repotted."
"Okay, I'm on it."
"And the windows need to be washed."
"Sure thing."
"And if you see Annie, you tell her I'm not happy that my Clodagh had to pay 5 copper pieces for a quart of a bushel of appleberries."
"Must be my lucky day. Going to keep me busy so I don't get lost in my own thoughts. I'll tell her."
"Okay.
Oh, okay, bye. Nice talking to you, Grace. Mrs. Meadowmoon." And with the little, like, hopping with slumped shoulders. So he just bounces.
Great.
Manically depressed Peter Rabbit. Yeah.
Fluffy tail just wrapped around him.
Grace is going to, like, try very hard not to kind of, like, give a wee smile to be like, "Okay, that's fucking cute though."
Sort of trips over his 2 big feet. He's like, oh boy.
As you're making your way out of the halting area, you just kind of hear a kind of a sharp whistle from Nana Meadowmoon. "Will you come here? Will you come here?"
Oh, did I forget my walking stick?
You young people and your accessories. You see that she's kind of bundled under her arms. She was like, as if she was smuggling in something into the jail. She has a bundle of cloth, and she kind of fishes something out of it, and she puts a blue jamberry muffin into your hands. There you go. "Don't be sad I didn't feed you."
A small creep of a tiny, minuscule smile cracks at Trep's.
"Jesus, he'll faint."
As he bounces away.
Feral.
So you're going to head off?
And yeah, I'll head off.
Do the chores for Mrs.
Wash the windows, water the plants, replant them. Tell
get
someone
to
not.
Woman.
Yeah, back to the woman for charging what seems like a reasonable price, 5 copper. I think it's the cheapest thing in this world I've ever come across. It's usually 2 silver.
Everything is 2 silver. Unless you're Sam, in which case it's 2 gold. Yes. In which case he makes me pay for it as the king. outside of the chores for Mrs. Metamoon, is there anything Trep wants to do? Is it
He'd probably tend on his own. He has a little tea garden of which he grows tea leaves and then has them kind of drying. And is how close to the celebration or like local town thing is it? Do I have time?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. Then prep some sandwiches that are cut into little triangles, bake some shortbread and do the usual.
As I say,
bake shortbread. There's certain things I can't escape, it seems. You know, bake pastries.
Don't eat the shortbread.
Yeah. See what Fia's up to, I guess.
As you head out and about the village, the grove, you do see that several of the locals, alongside some grove guardians, are putting up decorations. They're bringing out long tables. You see people milling about the market, getting a few bits and pieces for the potluck. And it is that, like, oh, yes, I have to get the your own ingredients. And having done and set about to do what Mrs. Metamoon asked of you, and she was only just chancing, she's going to do it herself eventually.
There's a small thing I realized I'd be very good at, which is I have a thing called bunny hop, which lets me jump 15 feet. And hanging bunting would be a very easy thing for me to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very sadly.
Give me a
pro decorator.
Okay. Athletics check.
Okay. 5.
Great. We will come to that 5 in a little bit.
Can't wait to be tangled up in glorious cartoony mishap.
Just like hanging off a pole somewhere. Yeah. Just like wrapped up like a prisoner, like, help.
Yeah, no one help.
Yeah, not again. Just swinging in the background.
Everybody's just letting it happen. Everyone's like, no, I'm not. It's not my turn. I did it already.
The kid's using it as a pinata.
At least I have friends.
This has become almost like a ritual for you, Grace, these last couple of weeks. You wake up, you eat, you meditate, you read, you wash, you eat, you read, you sleep. But somewhere along the line, this old woman just started
harassing me.
Yeah, yeah. Visiting you is how she sees it.
Harassment, leave me to be in peace.
A couple of times she was cleared, like that Firbolg gentleman that you remember seeing in the woods, that with the two Harongans that got you here, clears her. Like, it's like she's not supposed to be back here. She's not supposed to be interrogating the prisoner. And she's like, I'm not interrogating. And you see this kind of back and forth. And she's giving out about the prison food. She makes the prison food. that's why she brings you in other prison food. And eventually it got to the point of Oisin, is the captain of the Grove Guardians, just kind of has kind of learned better than trying to sway her from this and stopping you. She sets down that little bundle of baked goods and she pulls the chair over that Trep is sitting at, right next to the barred door of the jail cell. Well, you're looking a little worse for wear, I might say.
I feel it.
Have us going. Have us going.
I just...
Have a son's going. Have a son's going.
Yes, ma'am. Grace is just gonna eat the scone.
Oh, honey butter.
Oh, okay. And Grace is gonna get a bit suspicious now. Like, is this enough butter?
Oh, well, I'm not one to judge now.
You told me to put the butter on.
Well, I didn't mean that much butter. There's barely any left for me.
Do you want the scone?
No, it's okay, I'll just have my scone dry, I guess.
And she starts, do you want half my scone?
No, I don't want half your scone. That's your scone. That's your prison scone.
Grace is just going to defeatedly eat the scone. What is happening right now?
You see that it has, again, it's one of the staples that this old woman, Nana Metamoon, has been bringing you. They are little discs, scones, that are quite fluffy and warm. And it is one of the, like, it's one of those things that when you do bite into it, even though they might have been cooked or baked that morning, they still have a warmth to them and there's a little spice. They have sunflower seeds decorating the top to look like petals of a sunflower, and the middle part of the scone is painted in like an egg wash to give it that darker colour.
Mm.
And she's picking the seeds off and she's kind of nibbling on it. Well, what are we going to do with the tea then?
I'm happy to just...
go for a walk with a little old lady. Great. And you see she starts kind of rustling through her stuff. Where did you
It's... I know the guardians really don't approve.
Oh, no. And she, you see, she's fished out a key from her pocket and she just unlocks the door. And she crooks her arm.
Is this a trick?
Is what a trick?
Short. Grace is just going to give up because knowing this old lady, she'll end up dragging her out somehow. She's just going to stand up, dust herself off, and link arms with this old lady. Like, what sort of prison is this? This is...
I let you in a little secret. Come here. Come here. And yes. She's, like, she is a sailor woman. Kind of, like, again, just the amount of jewellery hanging off her ears, her horns, her wrists. Like she
jangles.
She jangles everywhere. She's like a walking wind chime. Just draped then in like fabric and rags and capes and cloaks. She's marvelous. And just this bushel of grey, wiry hair, sort of like protruding out from amongst her horns and down her face. And she's just, she kind of leans in very, very, and you can smell that sort of cinnamon and like smoke and sage off for a little bit. And there is just kind of a warmth sort of exuding her. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of lean down, Grace, to kind of listen, she pulls you in, like she literally pulls her arms around you. You're the first prisoner we've ever actually had here.
Then why is there a prison?
Well, there wasn't. This is actually an office. They had to, look, and she steps through the bars. Look, look. And she's kind of, look, back and forth.
That explains a lot.
Well, thank you for not running away. Well, not that you really had a choice, really, because, you know, the Grove would have probably brought you back to us.
Yeah.
Or the lads.
Either way, and Grace is going to kind of rub the back of her head and just think of the captain with a bit of a frown and say, I never quite paid him back for that, did I?
Yeah, Oisin's Grant. It's a bit soft.
Oh, well, that blow definitely wasn't.
Well, I have chores to be doing. I need a hand. I need someone sturdy. And, well, Claude is not really herself these days, so... I figured second best.
I'm honoured.
What do you have a lot in common with her?
I do not...
And she's shuffling.
See how...
Well, you're both mopey.
I am.
Cantankerous.
I am not mopey.
You always take too much of the honey butter.
You made me
take... You forgot my birthday.
Did I even know your birthday?
Did that matter?
I'm not psychic.
Oh, well, you could have asked. You haven't asked.
I didn't...
A bit of selfishness about you now, Grace. There's a bit of selfishness about you.
I didn't expect
you... Door there now. Can't be expecting me to get that there.
Yes, ma'am.
A bit of heavy door.
I'm just being bullied here.
And again, she kind of loosens the crook to let you pull the door open. And you can feel the air is so crisp. Like it's, you can feel the sun on your face, but the wind, there's a coldness to it. It's a fresh winter morning.
Mm.
And
nippy.
It's nippy. It's definitely later into the morning, but it is that thing... It's one of the first things you notice, Grace, when you step outside. The second thing you notice is that like everybody's like, what's the prisoner doing outside of the prison cell? As Nana kind of starts to escort you.
Grace is going to stop moving forward and start shuffling backwards a bit and say, I knew you weren't clear to let me out. I should go back. And
clear to let you out?
Well, to help you. I expected you to have asked for...
Ask who?
I don't know.
Patter.
Well, the captain.
Oshin. I saw that fella in nappies.
I really... Nana, I don't feel comfortable right now.
I don't feel comfortable either. That's just the osteoporosis in my bones. So if we have to stand here and let the wind just cut right through me, it'll get worse.
Oh, okay.
So shift it.
Yes, ma'am.
And she starts to shuffle. Pay them no mind either. Nosy as hell, that one.
It's very difficult to not pay them mind when they are all staring. I have eyes.
Uh-huh.
I can see them.
Uh-huh.
And I can feel their eyes on me.
Uh-huh. So that's another thing you have in common with my Clodagh. Crushing weight of the world as it stares into you. Wait. Expecting. Hold my basket there now. I got to get some of these. And she's over. Oh, well, in my day, it was 2 copper pieces for a bunch of shrooms. Huh? And here you are charging me 5.5. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And she puts the money down and she shoves a bunch of mushrooms into the basket. You see a rather upset looking Kenku woman behind a stall.
Grace is just going to mouth sorry as they step away. Nothing.
Oh, right. I just thought I saw you making apologies on my behalf. Another thing that Clodagh does that she doesn't think that I see, but I know she does.
I should be back in my cell.
You should be helping an old lady. You should abandon me here.
No, I'm not.
Miles from my home.
I'm
in a strange place. I could be mugged.
Well, this is your home, so I doubt it.
All right, Nana. Everyone's acknowledging her. I could be
mugged.
Teens, a lot of them. Absolutely shady characters around this place. Don't know that fella. And then you just hear, all right, Nana.
Grace is just going to start maybe sweating a little bit, like, and keeping their, like, eyes down, but staying very close to Nana.
She's kind of just skirting you down the road, and as you get a full picture of the grove, you just see these small little houses and huts made of timber and stone, almost as if they've been grown out of the ground. These large bulbous red flowers just kind of like hang from some tall trees, others just sprout from the ground, and there's a shimmer off of them. You can hear the faint sounds of a water wheel turning just very, very slowly. This place is like something from a book. Like, it's, these places don't exist.
Magical.
Yeah.
It's Sylvanian family.
It is.
I'm thinking Smurfs.
But for that sharp-edged little old lady that's dragging you. I'm sure there's one of them in Sylvanian family somewhere.
Oh, there's. There's always one.
She's leading you kind of down through the village, and you can see the odd road kind of splintering off as you kind of move further and further away from the Grove Guardian. So she's pointing things out to you there now. She goes, that's the long field. That's where they all hang out. They don't think we know, but that's what they do. They're all hanging out there.
Who's they?
Oh, the young ones.
They need communal spaces of their own.
Oh, well, my house isn't good enough, I suppose. Maybe I'm not cool enough.
Well,
or fire enough. What is it? These days, it's all over my head. One minute I'm hot, the next I'm cool.
It's a difficult one.
It's the natural cycle of things, actually.
It is. It is.
And she's just, again, whatever comes to mind, Nana just kind of blurts out. And again, she continues to point out all these different spots to you. You wander close to the South Bridge and you can see a small little shipyard, like riverboats,
mm-hmm.
and fishermen out in the middle of this river. She leads you across the South Bridge, mm-hmm. and then the adjoining bridge, like the little island where the fishing yard is, and then another bridge, and she's kind of coming back up around, and you just see in the distance, further kind of south east, just this huge, at first it looks like a tree,
mm-hmm.
and you can see kind of like there's like windows and stuff carved into it, and as you kind of draw kind of closer and you're rounding away from it, it's not a tree, it's a root. It's a gigantic root, taller than any building you would see in Tezrab, and it sort of coils and twists up around itself. that's the Basilica. Pater's probably in a meeting.
I don't think you should be showing me all of this.
Why, what are you going to do? You're going to rob it?
Well, no.
Oh, but there's nothing in it anyway.
Well, I don't...
Well, there's some lovely tapestries that I wove when I was a young lady.
Oh. I'd probably like to see them at some point, if I get a chance to.
Oh. Well, as luck would have it, Grace.
Oh, I didn't mean now.
Well, I don't have time now. I have to go home and make my appleberry fritters.
Okay.
We have the potluck in the gala tomorrow. And you have to come.
No.
You are coming as my honoured guest.
I don't think...
You can't say no to me, I'm old.
Well, I can.
Well, you can try.
Well, it's not like
don't
you
make
listen
me have
anyway.
You
well, it'll Again. Be. No, please do. Then at least I get to spend more time in that cell.
Look, I've already said it to Pater. It'll be grand. It'll be fine. He's grand about it. Well, he's not. He's actually not happy at all about it. What's he going to do? I'm his mother-in-law. There's nothing he can do.
Well, I don't want to make people uncomfortable.
Look, you're already doing that as it is. I mean, look at everyone staring at you.
Well, this wouldn't be happening if you didn't drag me out of my cell.
Many questions about you now as they do my granddaughter coming back. So, I reckon you and Clodagh will be good for each other.
What do you mean good for each other?
Oh, sweetheart, no. That one now has herself all caught up on some musician, no doubt. No.
Okay.
Not like that now. Not like that. Mind you, that trap fella.
Excuse me?
You know, the floppy, mopey...
I can't get romantically involved with anyone.
I see. And she looks down at your hand. It'll fade. In time.
It's not quite that. It's something else. But yeah, I don't think I can do that anytime soon. Maybe. I don't know. This is very strange. I'm a prisoner. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be seeing any of this.
Shush, now you're right.
I can't go. I don't have anything to wear.
Well,
no, please, no. Please, can I just stay in the cell? Can I stay in the cell and just read and exercise and meditate? That would be perfect.
You just need to give me 1 hour of your time, and I've plenty of frocks that I'll have a few sent over.
Frocks?
I'll have Trep drop over a couple of gowns. And you can have your pick. Whatever you want now. I won't be sending any of the good ones.
Please, but don't send any at all.
A couple are there. A couple of goonas that you'll be able to pick from. And you have whatever, and she kind of looks you up and down. Whatever it is you like to wear these days.
Grace is actually just kind of going to pause for a second and take a breath. Being like, I don't think I feel well, actually. Like actually feeling probably a bit lightheaded. Like this is a lot very quickly. I'm not used to being around people and socializing with a lot, and people are going to be staring at me. I do not like that. I just want to live out my sentence silently. That would bring me such joy right now.
Okay, so I'll have Clodagh drop by the dresses later.
No.
And say hello. She's lovely. She's very quiet girl now.
Send Trap. Please. Not Clodagh.
Grace, if I may be honest, I'm feeling a bit tired myself. And she kind of cracks her back a little bit. She kind of asserts her position. I think I'll pop in for a bit of a cat nap, as they say. So you make your way back there now to the jail cell and...
By myself?
I'll have Clodagh drop over those dresses.
No.
And apparently a few more sun scones and some honey butter, I guess.
Nana, please.
You don't have to say... You don't... You're welcome. And she kind of takes your hand in both of hers, and her hand... They're soft, but you can feel... There's a coarseness to them.
The work.
Yes. And she kind of, and she takes it, and she kind of, she just kind of looks up at you, and she's kind of smiling, half listening to anything you said the entire time. It's a fragile thing, the heart.
I don't think I even have one.
She squeezes your hands very, very tightly. Now that's a silly thing to say.
Grace is gonna like straighten up a bit and look a bit over her head to blink back tears, like, this is not normal. I should not be feeling this. I feel very uncomfortable right now.
Right, off you go. And she yawns and she heads inside.
Just leaving me standing there.
Yes, yeah.
Like a lemon.
Just off the village square.
Oh.
And you do see Trep tied up in some bunting.
Is anybody helping Trap?
No, everyone is just blissfully ignoring him.
Grace is going to try sticking to... There's probably no shadows in this place ever. Try sticking to, like, out of the way to try and not draw attention and scurry up to help Trap.
Give me a stealth check.
Oh, Jesus.
At disadvantage, because everybody has been staring at you.
Yeah. Oh, that is not great at all. So that's like a 9.
A 9.
Yeah.
You, yeah, it's the thing of you, sorry, I just, can I just get past you? Because people are kind of coming up to you, like, kids are coming up to kind of take a look at you, and you hear, that's our prisoner. everyone is just, and like, dads are pulling their kids away, and like, one or two of the Grove Guardians who are like putting up flags, and another two are like carrying a table, are kind of looking easy as if to say, wait, shouldn't. And you kind of just maneuver as awkwardly as possible over to Trep, who's kind of haphazardly. It's just one of those things where as you jumped up, you kind of got your ear kind of got caught, and as you kind of came down, you ended up wrapped, and your hands are sort of bound, and one of your ears is kind of wrapped under your leg, and it's just.
I feel like I'm upside down for some reason.
Yes, yeah, there's that as well. Yeah, yeah. It's slightly purple in the face.
Yeah,
oh, shit.
You can see the kind of white fur around his nose and mouth, and like on his chest, just like just bristling. Oh, hello again.
I will get you down.
Just when things were looking up.
Grace is just going to move as quickly as possible, unwrapping the bunting, try not to damage it in any way, because still festivities and all that, and yeah.
Yeah, like a sack of spuds, he just lands on the ground, like far heavier than you'd expect.
Oh, I don't know why I expected you to land on your feet.
Well, that would make it a good day.
You're not very positive, are you?
I'm Trap Kindly. It's kind of my thing.
It seems like that's becoming my thing too.
I wouldn't recommend it.
It's safer this way, I feel.
It's not my place because I'm not like a guardian. But shouldn't you be in prison?
I should be. I 100% should be. And that is where I am going right now. And
I don't suppose you want me to maybe bring you back or something.
I do know the way, but maybe.
Yeah, no, I was thinking no as well.
Well,
that's okay.
If you accompany me, then maybe the rest of the folk won't feel as if I've snuck out somehow. Although I'm pretty sure everybody now knows I was walking around with Nana against my will.
Yeah, I suppose if I go with you, they'll probably leave you alone on account of me being there.
Why do you seem to think that people hate you?
Oh, I don't think people hate me. It's just, I don't think people think of me at all. It's okay.
That's a...
So is this conversation happening on the way...
Boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Everybody's staring now. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
They're talking.
Yeah, it is. People are staring, but not necessarily. It's that it's a different sensation, Grace, as you make your way back to the cell. People are like, she's talking to Trep. Like, okay. And Trep is talking to her. So it's more like people are puzzled by what's happening.
So different vibe.
Yes. As you sort of saunter back to the Grove Guardians' quarters, their building, and the makeshift prison cell that you call home these days, Grace, the pair of you kind of move kind of north again towards that bridge and closer to the water mill. You see in the distance just sort of moving rather labored through the fields on her own, Clodagh Metamune, just taking in a walk, just taking in some air. She doesn't see either of you, and she's kind of walking kind of in the opposite direction that you're going.
There goes the love of my life.
Would I have seen Clodagh at this point?
No. This is your first... You've heard her name multiple times from Nana Metamune, but you've never seen her. She's been described to you. Very pretty girl. A little bit... She can be plain, but Joe, she's a prettiness about her. And it's that weird thing of when you see her, you know her. You know her because of the way Nana described her.
Mm.
And there is a striking resemblance between Nana Metamune and Clodagh Metamune.
Okay. I assume that is Clodagh.
Yeah, it's also unrequited. But
And how long have you been in love with her?
All my life.
Oh. And you know it's unrequited?
Well, I just assumed. Like,
why?
Look at me. So.
Well, what is wrong with you? I don't understand.
You'd have to ask the others, I suppose, because... I guess the question is, what's right with me?
What others? I don't think I quite like these other people.
Oh, like Oisin and Blanid and Aster and Nana Metamune and Pater Metamune and all the other Metamunes and all the other people. And
Nana loves you. I don't know what you seem to think. But I have a sense you have a very warped sense of... self-esteem.
Anyway, I better go do the thing that I was going to do over there.
Well, the last time you went to do the thing, you got a bit entangled. Are you okay to do it by yourself? I know I should be back in prison, but I don't think... leaving you hanging upside down for hours is good either.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to replant the plants and wash the windows and make some shortbread and sandwiches and a little triangle. There's a gala tomorrow.
Oh, I'm going, I think. Well, I don't want to go. I'm being made to go.
It's a lot of fun. You should go.
I'm a prisoner. Prisoners don't go to parties. I don't know if this place understands what prison means, because prison is no fun, barely edible food. You are in prison. You did bad things. You stay in prison. You don't go on walkabouts in the town and get... This is a very strange place. A very strange place. And I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Well, I'll... leave you to figuring that out.
Have you talked to Clodagh?
Oh, no. Have I talked to Clodagh?
Okay, don't have an aneurysm.
No.
Don't have an aneurysm. I think you might be better off not making any assumptions that the love is unrequited. Unless you can actually speak to her. That is how you find out things.
You give me a lot to think about. I think I'm going to go meditate on it and figure that out.
Meditation helps.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, yeah.
I guess I'll see you tomorrow. Or later. Probably
not later. You probably see me tomorrow. I'll be there anyway.
Oh, well, I still don't intend on going to this gala.
You'll be there, yeah.
But
if Nana Metamoon says you'll be there, then you'll be there. That's kind of...
Prisoner. I do not think the Guardians are going to be happy about any of this or even me there tomorrow. I'm not happy about me being there tomorrow. I shouldn't be here.
Well, if you're here, you should be. That's kind of how this place works.
Well, I did get lumped up the back of the head by Oisin. So I was dragged here against my will. Is that how this place works?
Most of us are born here, but I suppose we didn't choose that either. So it's the same kind of thing.
Fair point. Grace is going to awkwardly kind of be like, this is the most I've spoken to Trap and anyone really in 6 weeks. And I'm feeling tired.
I think this is the most Trap has ever spoken.
New records. <Whoop-de-doo>.
New friend. Do I love her?
Is this what love is?
Yeah, it's that thing, Grace, where you kind of find the conversation chasing its own tail. And seeing you kind of making no breakthrough. And that, like, I should be in prison. I shouldn't be going to parties. With kind of just a very audible sigh and sunken shoulders, you head back inside. There's nobody in the jail cell waiting for you. There's nobody. And
what is this?
You walk back in, close the door. The bars rattle. But again, the small little bundle of food that Nana brought, the baked goods, are sitting on that little side table, and you can reach the whole way through the bars, like three quarters of you, and pick up a sun's cone, and you can munch away on it. And Trap, as you head back to start preparing for the potluck tomorrow, plenty to think about. You look back to the fields where you saw Clodagh strolling, and she's gone. Like, she's just lost somewhere on the horizon. Maybe she's gone home. Maybe she's meeting a secret lover, someone who's bigger than you, better than you, handsomer than you, smarter than you, doesn't get tangled upside down, bunting than you. And you start to overplay every single incident.
Probably trip in the river on the way home. This darn river.
Just like arriving home, like, soaking wet.
I'll just float down. It won't get me there.
That'll get home.
That woo would imply it's fun.
The evening rolls on, and yep, a guard comes to check that you were in your cell. They heard a rumor that you were out walking about. They don't say anything, but you're there, so that's okay. And as you kind of drift into meditation, again, Grace, just one of those ways of passing the time and thinking and reflecting, and even thinking a little bit about what you said to Trep, an image of Clodagh just kind of finds itself at the front of your mind. And as much as you try and push it away, you watch as she almost kind of steps closer, the image of her coming clearer, and just a wound opening on her chest and her dress staining with blood. And you see her mouth. Why? And you wake up and it's pitch dark and there's just a and you see a young satyr woman standing outside the jail cell holding dresses.
Oh no.
And we will leave it there.
You've been listening to Romancing the Dungeon with Eilish, Ben, Apollo, Dai, and Tendai. I'm Declan, and I've been your Dungeon Master. If you like what you heard and you want to know more about the shows or all the stuff that we get up to here at D8 Dungeon, do check us out on social media at D8 Dungeon on all major social media platforms. You can also come check out our Discord community, where some of the coolest people on the internet hang out. If you did like this episode and you want to tell a friend about the show or any of the shows that we produce here at D8 Dungeon, we would absolutely love and adore you for it. You could also leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to the show on. It's been such a blast bringing other aspects of the world of Romancing the Dungeon into Grove is in the Heart. And I'm so excited, and it's a slight spoiler, I'm not sorry, so excited for season 2 of Saving Grace and just the amazing energy that Tendai brings to Grace Stormfield. Anyway, I won't say any more. There's another episode out in 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care, mind yourself, and have a good one. Bye.
Did I do that?
You know full well. I tried so hard. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't do this. You're going to kill him. No, please.
Do it. Kill that little bird.